And this is Mike DiMaria.
And we're here to talk about an important set of software that's being used in more and more enterprises to create a sense of community among employees, and that's instant messaging software. Mike, I know you have spent a lot of time covering the various instant messaging platforms.
Yeah, I've done, I believe, two big reviews of these products, maybe three, over the past couple of years. And I've been focusing mostly on the enterprise systems, you know, the kind of install it on your own site. And that really hasn't been gaining a lot of ground. I mean, it's a lot of companies are rolling out their own instant messaging system, but what we're finding is a huge majority of companies, big and small, are having public instant messaging being conducted over their network, whether they know it or not, to the tune of about 90% of enterprises have instant messaging in use currently.
Okay, now take us through a couple of things before, as we're getting started. You mentioned that there are systems available for companies to support instant messaging on their own servers. What would some of those be? What are some of the products out there that let people control their own instant messaging destiny?
Well, if you're talking about rolling out your own internal system, there's ones like IBM Lotus Instant Messenger, which used to be called SameTime. Novell has a solution with the Groupware product. The Sun Instant Messaging is another product. Jabber is a pretty popular open source version of a instant messaging system. You know, there's a few of them out there. Wired Red has one. There's about five or six major enterprise level instant messaging suites.
Well, what are some of the basic reasons? Why would someone go to the trouble of hosting their own instant messaging solution when there are so many publicly available instant messaging platforms out there?
Well, it comes down mostly to control and accountability. Those are the two big areas. With a public instant messaging system, you really have almost no control over it at all. You can't control who is talking to who is sending what files to who. And these people, they could be, employees could be talking to their relatives, they could be talking to friends, they could be talking to competitors. You can't really control any of that. You have no knowledge about who's talking to who, who's doing what. On the accountability front, you have no logging capabilities with the public instant messaging system by default, with no add-ons. There are some add-on products some vendors sell that allow you to do logging of public messaging. But by default, you know, if you just load up an instant messenger from, like, you know, AOL or Yahoo, or one of those, you really don't have any way to log conversations. And that can be a problem in some industries where you are required to log every communication that is made. Every email has to be logged. Well, every instant messaging session should be logged as well. And you don't really want to break those regulations because, you know, the government's going to come down hard on you. And really, the only solutions for that is either to roll out your own private instant messaging system or roll out some sort of security suite on top of a public instant messaging network.
Okay. Well, let's look for a moment at all of these. And it sounds to me like with the control and accountability issues that you bring up, that it should be very easy and, frankly, a very quick decision for companies to go ahead and say, we're going to do our own instant messaging platform. And yet you say that the uptake on these hasn't been what you expected that it would be. What are some of the reasons that people aren't doing this?
Well, some people, some management and executives don't really see the need. These people might not actually be using instant messaging themselves. Instant messaging is more of a younger generation of IT workers technology. Pretty much a lot of the up-and-coming IT workers and the people who've been in IT only for a few years, you know, we're talking about the 18 to 35 year old demographic here. They kind of grew up on instant messaging, instant messaging their friends, always having it available to these people, which I'm one of them. Instant messaging is kind of like a telephone. It's always been there. It's always been available right, you know, on your desk, and to not have it is odd. As you get older in IT workers, many studies have found that they use instant messaging less. They see less of a need for it. They see less of a daily use case for using instant messaging. And so that's part of the reason. It is also an additional cost. You know, obviously, anytime you roll out any sort of system, it's going to cost money to roll it out, to maintain it, to upkeep, administer, and the initial research behind it, and just the outlay of capital. And so those could be some of the reasons that I suspect that companies haven't really fully embraced instant messaging yet. I have a feeling that as we move to more unified communications, as public switch telephone gets replaced by VoIP, the desire to move over to an instant messaging system and to tie in presence into the phone network, I think there's going to be a more compelling case for that, and you'll see more and more instances of internal instant messaging as that takes off as well.
I was just about to ask if you saw any sort of external things, because it seems to me that some of the audit requirements from the regulations ranging from HIPAA to SARBOX to GLB would certainly make strong arguments in favor of having a system where you have complete control and full auditing capacity for the conversations taking place.
Yeah, and I think you know more about the regulations as it relates to security and just, I think you're more regulation aware than I am on those sorts of things. I know that email pretty much has to be archived. Yeah, that's correct, right?
In general, although this is one of those areas, well, all of these regulations to this point have been very little tested in court. There are lots of assumptions about what people need to do, but very few hard and fast trial-tested rules on what is considered sufficient accountability on the part of companies. So you have some IT organizations that are playing it very safe, deciding that they need to log every transaction and every conversation for full auditability. Others who feel that the standards can be a bit more relaxed. But the fact is that as of today, we don't have a solid caseload of trial decisions to give guidance to people on exactly what they need to do.
Well, that's probably also a lot of businesses that really aren't going to be as affected by archived instant messaging as other companies. I don't think, like, for example, let's take our company, CMP Media. I don't think there's really any regulations outside of, let's say, the Human Resources Department for you and me. I don't think there's any federal regulations that say that our instant messaging conversations should be archived.
Yeah, fortunately, as a media company, we get to stand behind a fair amount of tradition and court history that actually says that we don't have to provide logs for conversations that take place. And there are plenty of other companies that fall into a similar situation. You know, a private company that's not involved in something like the financial industry or significant hazardous waste exposure, for example, might not need to log everything. And I think for many companies, the case could be made that extensive logging, when it's not required by some external regulation or law, actually invites more legal action than one where you can legitimately say we've never tried to keep track of things. Because if you do keep records, and it's known that you keep records, then if for some reason you suddenly stop, that can raise some significant questions in the case of a discovery period in a court case. So, you know, there are all sorts of arguments on both sides of this. But, you know, I think I would love to get back to another question for you, and that's sidestepping the whole security and regulatory compliance issue. When you look at the in-house instant messaging systems that are available, are there any functional advantages to using those over using one of the public instant messaging platforms?
Oh, sure, yeah. And it varies really depending on which product you use and how much integration you want. One nice thing is you could tie your instant messaging system into your directory system, Active Directory, LDAP, or something like that, so that your user accounts, as long as they're in the Active Directory, they have an instant messaging account. And if you decide to terminate the employee one day, you disable their computer, their network account, and instantly the instant messaging account also goes offline as well. You could also control a little bit better who could talk to who, because if you have your own internal system, the people on the internal system don't necessarily have the ability to communicate to AOL users or Yahoo users or anything like that. That's only true to a certain extent, as long as you could keep those people from actually running AOL Instant Messenger at the same time as their internal system. But at least supplying them with the internal system is going to make them a little bit less likely to also use the public systems as well. You have better control over the naming architecture, because, you know, on the public accounts, you could pretty much make up whatever name you want. There's no way to control that at all. With a private system, you're able to at least say, this is the format. We want to have last name dot first name or something like that as the names, and we're going to put you into pre-assigned groups and have these groups automatically pushed out to buddy lists, so that if you work in, let's say, the network computing group, you get a buddy list already pushed out that has all the people in network computing already pre-populated. And that pre-population is really helpful, especially if you have a really large group, instead of having to copy everyone's instant messaging name over and over and over again as new people come on and off the staff.
Well, let me ask this. As, you know, we're looking at the functional advantages. If someone decides, you know, let's take the first case of someone who decides that they're going to stick with one of the publicly available instant messaging platforms, whether it be AOL or Yahoo or Microsoft or even ICQ. Are there, let's say, three or four things that people should absolutely make sure they're doing in their policies or procedures to make sure that the instant messaging is being used properly in a business context?
Yeah, policy one, don't do that. Policy two, three, and four, look at policy one. Really, it's almost impossible to secure public instant messaging in that way. There are some products out there that can do security on public IM. We haven't really looked at them at network computing, so I really don't know how effective they are. Let's see, these are products like, I can't remember their names now. They always send me press releases. I think FaceTime is one of them. There's Symantec just bought one. I think IM Logic, I think they're called. Okay. Yeah, Symantec bought them, so, you know, that product's going to suck now. These products, they say that they could do extra encryption, they could do logging, they could do auditing, they could kind of control who's talking to who and disable these activities, disable file transfers or something like that. I'm not fully sure how well they work, especially when you get into encrypted instant messaging and kind of when IM tries to hide itself, Jabber servers can kind of do this a little bit more effectively because they could change change the default ports, they could encrypt everything, they could look like web traffic. The public networks are a little bit more predictable in their network, in what the network traffic looks like. But if you are going to use a public system, I would definitely recommend to use some form of add-on product, either network-based or host-based, to at least add some level of security on top of it. It might be a little bit cheaper than rolling out your own system. You do lose a lot of the integration with your own internal systems. You don't get any internal presence management tied to your telephony network. You don't get any integration with your directory services, but it's better than nothing.
Okay. Well, it seems like there are a ton of options available out there, and one of the absolutely certain things is that instant messaging is not going to go away as a method for communicating, both within organizations and between organizations. I mean, you mentioned our company, CMP. I do tons of instant messaging communications each day between myself and my colleagues, but I also use instant messaging as a way to talk to everyone from public relations people to freelance writers to producers for our podcasts. So I'm sure that my example is not atypical.
Are you finding PR people are willing to talk to you over instant messaging? I find a lot of them really don't even like to do email.
Oh, I have found that there, I've probably got between 20 and 30 PR folks who hit me on a regular basis on instant messaging. And perhaps one of the reasons for that, I am very free about putting my instant messenger ID on my business cards. And so I think once they see the instant messenger address on a business card, they feel that that's a legitimate way to get in touch with someone. And going back to a point you made earlier, I do find that in general, it is the younger PR folks who are using this as a way to reach me rather than the people who have been in the industry for 25 or 30 years.
Now, why do you like getting contacted by instant messaging as opposed to email or telephones? Should I assume that you prefer instant messaging over telephone communication?
In general, I do, because for me, instant messaging is a less disruptive way of reaching me. When the telephone rings, I can answer it or not, but you know, one way or the other, it has made a significant intrusion on my consciousness, and it has taken my attention away from the computer screen, where frankly I spend most of my work day. With an instant messenger, I have that wonderful in-between. I don't have to let someone leave a message where I'll get back to them sometime later. They can pop up a message, and I can get to them anytime within the next few minutes, and it's considered a real-time response. And the conversation can take place on an asynchronous basis, where if one of us has a delay, if something distracts either one of us, it's not a huge issue for the other. And I find that to be very useful. So, you know, I get people who will make initial queries that way. I get an awful lot of contacts that go on that way around conference calls. I know that you, like I do, spend a lot of your time in conference calls with vendor organizations. And it's amazing how many times I'll be in a conference call and I'll with an executive, and I'll have a PR person popping up information on an instant messenger screen. And for me, it just works very well to do it that way.
Now, I wonder, though, will instant messaging kind of make us less less likely to pay attention during telephone conversations? And you know, I kind of find, for me, it kind of does. And I kind of don't want to change that, though. I like the benefit I get from using instant messaging while on the phone. But I do find myself to be a little bit more distracted when doing IM and telephone conversations.
I would say that I find myself more distracted if I'm in a boring conversation. If I'm in a conversation where the information is truly engaging and the person I'm talking to is truly engaging, then my focus is going to be on that individual. I think that distraction is sort of the universal state of being for business folks, certainly in the U.S. these days. And there are all kinds of things going on that offer the opportunity to be distracted. In one sense, it probably means that we are losing some of the discipline that we once had that forced us to pay attention, or at least to pretend to pay attention to someone, regardless of how boring or inconsequential the conversation might have been. On the other hand, I find that it does help me get more done in the day. And I'll tell you something else that I found. I have a Trio, and when I am away from my desk, my instant messenger traffic automatically switches from my laptop to the Trio. And for me, it's wonderful to be able to continue to carry on conversations or to make sure that I'm getting communications, even when I am not at my desk.
And you can also have conversations in private and quiet, which is nice. And that's probably the one benefit of you know, the text messaging services on mobile phones, quiet conversations.
Quiet conversation, and conversation where you do have the luxury of taking a moment to think about your response. You know, in a telephone conversation, any voice conversation, we are inclined to feel that we need to fill up any dead airspace, whether we really have something to say or not. And in an instant messenger conversation, we have the luxury of taking a moment to think about our response before we send something back. And once again, to me, that can provide some additional value to the communication that's going on.
Well, I think that's also relevant to the history of text, as I like to think about it, where if something's in text form, you can read it over and over and over again. You have a history. Real-time audio and video, such as telephones, you really can't rewind and reread what someone said, you know, even a few seconds ago, let alone a couple of minutes ago. And so kind of it's a good thing that we have that little added latency there where you can have a few seconds to type out and actually figure out what you're going to type before you send it, because that person could read it over and over and over again and get more and more pissed off at you if you said something wrong.
Right, right. The pros and cons of modern communication. Well, Mike, I think that we've probably got material for at least another podcast. And, you know, we haven't really plumbed the depths of this. But, you know, I think this conversation points out that there are options available for people who need some degree of control and security while their employees are taking advantage of a form of communication that is on the verge of becoming ubiquitous in business today.
Oh, I'd go further than that. I'd argue it is ubiquitous today. And it's just that people don't realize it is, at least on the management side. It is out there. The studies have shown 90% of enterprises have instant messaging running right now. Not 90% don't have, they don't, 90% don't know it. But I'm pretty sure, but I'd argue that it's here today, and it's being used by almost as many people as the telephones are being used by inside the enterprise.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. Well, Mike, I think we've come to the end of our time, but I'm going to look forward to our next conversation.
Yeah, sure. We should do it again.
We absolutely will. And until that time, I'm Kurt Franklin. for network computing, saying so long.